Welcome to Well-Versed, where we bring biblical principles of governance to governmental leaders and you. This is the Well-Versed podcast.
We are so honored to have with us Emmanuel Kachaturov. Emmanuel Kachaturov is from Armenia. You need to hear this broadcast badly. It will teach us how to pray for a precious country that God loves dearly. We've had the privilege of being together recently, and we had the privilege of talking on the phone, and I just wanted to get this message about his country out to all of you. Emmanuel, welcome. It's such a joy to have you on the World Prayer Network family tonight.
Thank you so much, Dr. Garlo. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
You and your father are businessmen. In fact, I suppose I would be within the range of accuracy. You and your father are two of the most prominent businessmen in your nation. You own the largest companies. How many different companies?
We own 25 companies in Armenia. We're one of the largest business conglomerates, and some of our businesses are the largest businesses in their respective industries.
And you own companies, I think, maybe in the U.S. and the Philippines as well?
Yes, also in the U.S. and also in the Philippines as well, yes.
Some really major companies, major corporations. They're passionate about the Lord. His father was involved with the, Dimas Shikarian, the Full Gospel Businessmen's.
Yes.
Establishing it there. He's an international leader. And Emmanuel is, as his name would imply, God with us. Emmanuel is passionate about the things of the Lord. I sometimes kid him. He's single, and I'm looking for a wife for him, ladies. So he's missing out right now. But okay, I'll stop on that one for the present time. I'll have 86 mothers contact me in the next hour.
I appreciate that.
Daughters, let me have their daughters.
Well, you can screen them all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you do the screening. Yeah, the initial screen.
So it's very helpful on that.
Yeah.
Well, your country is facing something horrific. So give me just maybe a 3 or 4 minute overview of what Armenia is facing right now. Then I want you to go back to the beginning and do a quick walk through the history. Folks, this is going to be fascinating to you. This is not going to be boring history. This will be very invigorating. You're listening to a superb teacher right now. Let's go for it. What's the condition right now in Armenia that you're facing this moment?
Well, the situation, Dr. Garlo, is quite dire. So there are two parts. There's Armenia proper, and then there's Nagorno-Karabakh. So Nagorno-Karabakh is an exclave of Armenia. It's ethnic Armenian, and it's been Christian for the last 1,500 years, and it's been inhabited continuously by Armenians. So the last 2 years, it's been very difficult because Azerbaijan first blockaded the only road connecting Armenia to Nagorno-Karabakh for 10 months, and then they started a war, and they had a takeover of the entire region. So on the map there, you can see on the southern eastern part now, you can see that by the international borders, it is now showing as part of Azerbaijan. But that was not the case for thousands of years, historically and also legally. But that's what happened in the last 2 years. Currently, Azerbaijan just had a fake election, the most phony election in the city of Stepanakert, which is the capital city of Nagorno-Karabakh, where, by the way, there are zero people living there. Everyone has already left. Every single Armenian has left that region. He had the most phony election. He got elected 99%, right? But in a place where there's nobody living. And now he claims that Armenia, the capital city of Armenia, Yerevan, belongs to Azerbaijan. So they need to take it by force. They're also declaring that Armenia as a whole is Western Azerbaijan historically, and they need to take over the entire country of Armenia by force.
Let's go back to that map, because Azerbaijan is how old is a country?
Coca-Cola is older than Azerbaijan. So Azerbaijan came into existence in 1920. It is a Soviet invention. Essentially, it came into existence as a result of an Iranian province. Say, if you type the name Azerbaijan, it's a province in Iran. So these people now think they have historical claims to a country that is the first country to exist in modern history, because if you're a believer, you know that Noah's Ark landed on the mountains of Ararat, as it is recorded in the Bible, and the mountains of Ararat is the land of Armenia. So a country that's existed like 100 years barely is claiming historical, is making historical claims against a country that's the first country that's existed after the flood. Right?
You're surrounded totally by Muslims?
And we are, yes, we are surrounded by Muslims, where we are a country that's landlocked, and we are basically persecuted, not only right now, but also historically for the last thousands of years, because we are Christians and we want to hold on to the name of Jesus, and we're paying it in blood. So not only did Armenian genocide happen 100 years ago, which is good that it's been recognized, but it's been 100 years after it's already happened. What about the current genocide that's taking place? Took place 2 years ago and is taking place now, right? What about all the people who are paying with their lives to hold on to the name of Jesus, and they're being surrounded by all these Muslim countries? And this is why we want Christian people to be aware of what's happening here, and to call them for prayers and to action.
This is a good time. This is early in our interview, but it'll be a good time for you to say in the political, we're going to be praying, in the spiritual, but in the political, people need to contact their congressman and alert them to this and ask them to support Armenia. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, there is an Armenian caucus in the Congress. So the best thing that they can do is ask their members of Congress to join the Armenian caucus that is dealing with the issues related to Armenia and the Armenian people. And also encourage their members of Congress. Right now, there are bills in the Congress that they can vote to cut off military aid to Azerbaijan, to give support to Armenia. There is a bill called the Armenian Protection Act that's currently in Congress. So there's things that people can do tangibly today to make a difference, and that can put pressure on their members of Congress. So we can pray, we can raise awareness, but we can also put political pressure.
I want people to write down the three things. There is an Armenian caucus, and
yes.
Do you have the idea what members of Congress, or who is chairman is that?
I think it's chaired by Pallone, Frank Pallone.
Oh, okay.
And there is quite a few members already, but obviously we need more support. The more the better.
The Armenian Protection Act is a good act that you want to see passed through Congress.
Yes, right now there is a bill that's been introduced, and we just want more members of Congress to support that bill, which would cut off military support to Azerbaijan, because Azerbaijan is using this to kill Armenians and to commit genocide and to occupy Armenia. So United States tax dollars should not be, the American tax dollars should not be going to killing Armenians, occupying our land, and annihilating Christians, right? This is not where U.S. dollars should go. So this is a bill that prohibits basically the United States to send any more support, military support, to Azerbaijan, and to support Armenia instead.
Okay, folks, we have our marching orders on that one. Contact your congressman on that issue. Now let's go back. I want you to give a broad sweep. Help us understand, because was this the first country to become officially a Christian nation?
Yes. So not only this is the first nation that came to exist after Noah's flood, but it's also the first country that's recognized as a Christian country. And ever since we've done that, we've been persecuted. We've been persecuted by the Romans. We were persecuted by the Persians. And then later the Russian came and then started persecuting us, then the Turks. And then the only condition all these countries had is, you know, as long as we convert, will be a prosperous, thriving nation, right? It's been the only condition that's always been put before us for thousands of years. And we don't want to do that. We are proud that we carry the name of Jesus, because one thing to believe in the Lord is one thing to live a life of a Christian, to carry it out. But a whole other level of that is to pay your life, right? To be a martyr for Jesus, to die for the name of Jesus, right? There's a special place for people who do that. Now imagine you do that on a national scale, not only on a personal scale, but on a national scale, right? This is the level of Christianity that Armenia has and the believers here, and they're willing to die for the name of Jesus, and we don't want to convert. because we have a country, neighboring country called Georgia, right? It's in north of Armenia. The country of Georgia has converted three times, right?
But converted to what?
They converted to becoming Muslims three times.
Under coercion.
They've changed their relations. Yes, under coercion. They've changed their religion multiple times, right? And this is why they have a bigger piece of land and they have sea access that we don't have, because, you know, they don't care. They just gave up their faith. They were Christian first and then became Muslim and then Christian and then put under pressure, became Muslim again three times, right? So that just tells you how difficult it is. But we want to carry the name of Jesus. We don't want to deny the Lord's name.
If we bring up the map, Tristan, are you able to do a screen share so Emmanuel controls the cursor and he can point out things on the map as he kind of walks us through this history? Is that possible?
Yeah, so this is historic, basically, Armenia, as it is called, Sea to Sea Armenia. As you can see, it stretches all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Caspian Sea. And this is why it was called the Sea to Sea Armenia. This is the historic Armenia, the biblical Armenia, right? It stretches all the way to Syria and then all the way to the Caspian Sea. And then from the south, you have the Persian Empire or the Parthian Empire at the time. So, and the Cappadocia on the north and west. But this is what Armenia has been known for thousands of years. And then when we became Christian, that's where all the persecution started happening against Armenia, starting from the Roman Empire. And then it went to the Persian Empire. And then afterwards, it went to the Russian Empire and then the Turkish, the Ottoman Empire. And today it's Azerbaijan and Turkey again. They just don't want to let us go until we convert.
We'll go to the next slide so we can see how that Armenia shrinks as a country enormously. Guide us to the next slide, Tristan, if you can. Be able to bring the next one up, the next map. What are we looking at here?
So what you're looking at here, essentially, you can see Nagorno-Karabakh, right next to Armenia. This is in 1915. And then south of it, right south of Armenia, that's also part of Armenia. You see where the Persia says Persia, right above it, right? You see all of that is Armenia. And then east of that, Nagorno-Karabakh, right? So this is how Armenia was before the Soviet intervention, right? And then the Soviets came over and it started giving land to the Turks. But you can see the mass killings of Armenians from 1915 to 17 and where all the people fled. And we lost 2 million people at the time, just like, you know, the slide here says. And then most of what's Turkey today belonged to Armenia. So you can see anything west of that. You see Ottoman Empire, right? Anything east of that was Armenia, all of that land, everything there, yes. And then the Turks came and basically told us, okay, you have to convert. You don't want to convert. We will kill you and we will take over your land. And this is how Turkey expanded east towards Armenia.
I don't know my history well enough on this, so I'm going to ask a naive question. The Ottoman Empire ended in 1917, and British, I think, took control of much of the area. But if they could have survived two more years in 1917,
yes,
there would have been 2 million people still living.
Yes, if we survive only two more years, none of this would have been a problem. And modern Turkey wouldn't be the way it is today. And all of this chunk would have been Armenia. But the only price was deny your faith, become Muslim. And then we won't touch you. You will be like our Muslim brotherhood. And we said we will hold all to the name of Jesus. In fact, there were women whose wombs were cut off who had babies. And the only condition they had was like denounce the name of Jesus. And they held on to the name of Jesus until very death. They took these people to the desert because they didn't even have enough weapons or ammunition or knives to kill them. They just starved them in the deserts until they all died. 2 million people. And they all had one condition. As long as you convert, you're free to go. And these people chose to hold on to the name of Jesus.
Wow, that's pretty astounding to hear that story. And what is jolting, World Prayer Network families, many of you know, it took countries many decades before they would acknowledge this was actually genocide. This happened in 1915 to 1917. And how long did it take, Emmanuel, before countries acknowledged this was a genocide?
Good 80 years before anyone even talked about it. That's a sad reality. You see this on the map, right? It's clearly shown. These are historic archive documents that show this is Armenia before the genocide. This is the population of Armenia before the genocide. It is 100% undeniable proof that this was an intentional effort to eradicate an entire race and to eliminate them from the face of the earth. Right? There is no historical arguments here. But the problem is, it was not politically expedient for countries to recognize it. But because there was more and more pressure being put on them, they slowly started doing it. But the problem is that the only reason why the Holocaust happened, the Jewish Holocaust, is because the words of Hitler, and this is literal quote, you can look this up on the internet, it's a quote. When he was questioned about it, he said, "After all, who remembers the Armenians?" That was literal quote of Hitler. He says, "Look, the Turks did the genocide against the Armenians. No one remembers them. Green pass. That gave them the right now, right? That gave them the pass to go and commit the Holocaust. If the Armenian genocide was recognized and prevented, the Holocaust would have never happened." But after 80 years since it happened, slowly SIM carded countries in Latin America started recognizing it, and then European countries started recognizing. The United States only recognized it 2 years ago. 2 years ago, right? After 100 years of this being a genocide. But that's not even the worst problem. The worst problem is that there is a genocide that just took place 2 years ago. It's happening now, and everyone is silent about it, and they're allowing it to happen. So the question is, do we need another 100 years to look back and say, oh, you know, we're sorry, this was not good, this shouldn't have happened, right? This is where it breaks our hearts. And anyone who's a believer or has any consciousness at all should break their heart.
This is why the United Nations was founded, to prevent future genocide. And this Armenia is the Holy Land. If you can see on the map again, right below on the coast of the Mediterranean is Syria and Antioch, where mostly Jewish believers were first called Christians. This is way before Constantine took this was filled with the foundational Hebrew early Christian powerful believers. In fact, the seven churches are right in this area. So this is the most precious of God's Holy Land after the resurrection of Jesus, where the gospel was first established, rooted, and grounded in it. The first entire nation to be born again, to be saved, was Armenia, first nation of Christianity. So
we need to complete kind of your first sentence. The United Nations was founded to stop this kind of thing.
Yes.
But it has failed miserably to stop this kind
of thing. On paper, but in reality, we all see what's happening.
Precisely.
It's very tough.
So walk us on through, continue on the history, bring us through. We're up to 1915, 1917, with 2 million of them slaughtered, starved, killed. When you even referenced the barbaric action of carving, I think I heard you say carving up the womb of a pregnant woman.
Yes.
This is where Hamas took its training, apparently.
Yes, it's October 7th in Armenia.
It's just like the October the 7th, and these are the same people. They have the same motives. They hate God, they hate the Lord, they hate his word, and they hate his people, just like on October 7th, right? The same situation, we see it's unfolding, and it's heartbreaking, and we need to stand up to this, and silence is not the answer, and indifference is not the answer.
So get us from the last 100 years, and then bring us up to, if I'm understanding it correctly, there are people currently, present tense, being killed and slaughtered by Azerbaijan in Armenia. There are churches taken over and converted to Muslims. Take this last 100 years and bring us up to the present again.
Absolutely. But before I do it, I just wanted to reiterate, when Armenia was first founded after Noah came here to this land after his ark landed, this is the country where God gave the covenant between humanity and God, right? It was the rainbow, which is now misused. right? In the, you know, gay and lesbian, whatever community, LGBTQ, there was always new letters being added, community. And then on top of it, this is the first place where grape juice was squeezed and then wine was also created, which is also a sign of a covenant, was also in the land of Armenia. And then the first table of sacrifice, a tabernacle, was also made in the land of Armenia. And then also, this is a country where it was the first Christian nation. You can see why this is the root, right? And our church is called the Apostolic Church, or the Armenian Apostolic Church, because the apostles, two of the apostles came and they brought the gospel here personally. So it was founded by the apostles themselves. This is why there's one fourth of, you know, the quarter of the Jerusalem in Jerusalem is the Armenian, because they understand this. And if you go to the Vatican, right outside of the Vatican, there is a big statue of Gregory the Illuminator, is the person who brought the gospel of Jesus Christ for Armenia to become a Christian state. You see his huge statue, and they have also given the anointing also to the Armenian Apostolic Church, because they realized not only we were the first ones to do this, but we are the ones who was paying for it, and you know, paying in terms of land, paying in terms of blood in our lives. And we continue to do that, unfortunately, until today. So in 2020, during COVID, Azerbaijan, they launch an offensive against Nagorno-Karabakh, which is the exclave of Armenia in the southern eastern part that I talked about. They started an offensive and they took over one third of the land, and there was no outcry, no media coverage. They were killing children and women, bombing churches. They were bombing hospitals. They were bombing schools, this indiscriminately killing people left and right. And then afterwards, there was a ceasefire. There was an agreement between Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Russia to act as a peace guarantor. So they brought their peacekeeping forces to Nagorno-Karabakh as a guarantor for peace. However, what ended up happening is in 2021, in December of 2021, Azerbaijan started doing a blockade. So basically blocking the only road that's connecting Armenia to Nagorno-Karabakh. It's called the Lachin Corridor. They blocked it, and they blocked it in terms of water, in terms of power, electricity, in terms of food, medication for 10 months. So people were literally starving and dying. They were starving to death. And there were the Russian peacekeeping forces who had an obligation, contractual obligation, to protect Armenians and to bring peace. And it was part of their contractual obligation for that road to remain open. Because if you just cut off the bloodline, right, how are they going to get food? So there was no food on the shelves. Hospitals had no medication, and people just started dying. Right. Until very recently, only a few months ago, they did another offensive. Imagine not only you starve people to death, and then you start another military offensive, and they took over the entire region, and it was like an exile. Think about the Jewish exile, right? It was like an exile from Nagorno-Karabakh, removing all the Christians. And these were people who were Christian for thousands of years in these lands. Everyone was uprooted from their homeland, removed from their houses. And then afterwards, they started the desecration process, the desecration of churches, desecration of monasteries, turning them from Christian into Muslim. And they started saying, oh, these are Albanian churches, because it sounds similar, like Albanian, Armenian. A lot of people will get confused, right? They say, oh, these are Albanian churches. Even though it's written in Armenian in every single one of those churches, there has never been an Albanian in those regions ever. We have dozens and dozens of churches right now being destroyed, being turned into mosques. They would go into people's cemeteries where their forefathers are buried. They will record it on video, destroy them, shoot them down, bomb them, and send it to their families so they can see what they're doing to their own relatives. They're already deceased. These are dead people. Right, and they would go into people's houses that they own. They would rob the house, destroy the house, record it, and then they will send it to their personal cell phones to watch it on video.
October 7th.
And during this process of time, they would also put basically money amounts to capture Armenian women for sex, for raping them, right? And they would spread them all over their media and on their Telegram channels. And this is how much I would pay to rape this 14-year-old, this 13-year-old, this 12-year-old, right? And there was a massive outcry about this, but nothing really happened. So this is the sad situation that we're in right now. So not only these people have been uprooted, not only all these cultural heritages are being destroyed, churches being destroyed, now Azerbaijan is saying Armenia belongs to Azerbaijan. These are our historic lands. We need to take over everything by force. And they're currently occupying lands in Armenia proper, the internationally recognized borders of Armenia. They're occupying land, 150 square kilometers. That's a huge chunk of land, and they don't want to go back, right? So this is the situation that we're forcing, unfortunately.
Folks, if you want to look, just Emmanuel, before we go to the map I'm calling out, just point out the countries that you're surrounded by. This helps people see what you really face in your country.
Yes. So Iran is, as you all know who Iran is, I don't see much about them and you know what they're capable of and what they've been doing. So south, we have Iran, Muslim country, terrorist country. East, you have Azerbaijan, terrorist country. West, you have Turkey, terrorist country, Muslim country. And they all have one thing in common. They want to annihilate Armenia. And then north, you have Georgia, which has changed their religion three times already from Christian to Muslim. So they're not real Christians. You know, I don't see that as real Christians. And we're just completely blockaded and surrounded. We have no access to the sea. We're completely landlocked, right? And this is why the U.S. support is so important to us, because historically, we've been losing land left and right because Russia has been just setting us up. So this is before the Soviet Union. You can see Nagorno-Karabakh is not part of Azerbaijan. It's very clearly defined. It's its own place, right? It's its own independent region. And then south of Armenia, Nakhichevan, right? That is also part of Armenia. Yes, on the left side, more west. Yes, you see that? That's also part of Armenia. So when the Soviet came, they just arbitrarily decided to give south of Armenia to Azeris. Why not? East of Armenia to Azeris. Why not? Right, just started to arbitrarily give away land. So that's the situation that we had before the Soviet Union.
Now let's go to this next map, Tristan. It's the one that shows the red, kind of red borders. I think we talked about it a moment ago. And that's what shocked me when I saw that map. There's sections within Armenia, circles, that are declared Azerbaijan. Point to those, Tristan, if you would, up there, right there. And then there's kind of one little circle of Armenia.
Those are occupied lands that they're refusing to go out of. They say, this also belongs to Azerbaijan, and we'll take it by force, we'll kill your people. And they start shooting at the villagers, killing them, right? So they want to bring fear into the hearts of these people. And now you see the south of Armenia, you see Azerbaijan now, Nakhichevan.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can see that was literally out of the blue. It was randomly given by them. They have zero historical claims there. And now you see east of Armenia, Nagorno-Karabakh is now internationally recognized. You don't see Nagorno-Karabakh anymore. You see Azerbaijan. Right. So these are just arbitrary land grabs by force.
Do you have any support all from the American military?
We do not have support from the United States in terms of military. It's been really heartbreaking for us. Not only they haven't supported Armenia, they've been funding Azerbaijan militarily for the last, 15 years?
Wait a minute, repeat
so
that.
So now...
Repeat that sentence.
For the last 15 years, they have been funding Azerbaijan militarily, direct military support from the United States. It's called Section 907.
Wow. Continue.
So this is why there is a bill now that says we need to stop this, guys. We cannot fund the first Christian country surrounded by Muslims who is experiencing a genocide. Our tax dollars should not be going to funding this military regime. And this is a regime that's completely corrupt. It's been run by the same family for generations and generations ever since the Soviet Union broke off. It's been one-man government. It's oil-rich. He was named the corrupt person of the year, literally, internationally. If you type corrupt person of the year, President Aliyev, His elections are phony. He has horrible human rights records. And this is the person that, why is a country like this being funded by the United States for direct military support? That's like dumbfounding to me, right? Just because they have oil and gas, like that's it? Is that the only values that we have as humans is oil and gas? So this is the situation that we're in right now. And we want people to know about all this because when I tell this to people, they're utterly shocked. It's like their first time hearing about this.
Everybody knows the history of the Jewish people extremely well because they're really better than I do. If you go back to the 19, well, when the World War II, Britain and other countries threw the Israelis, they threw the Jews under the bus once they discovered oil in Saudi Arabia. And they were willing to go with the Muslims and forget the Jews. And catastrophic things happened to the Jewish people. And then, of course, Israel got all carved up. 78% of what was supposed to be Israel was carved off at that particular point and named Jordan, as a matter of fact. You're experiencing the same kind of thing. You're thrown under the bus because
very similar stories, actually. If you look, how similar. God's people. And both of these nations are God's people. Right, both of these nations are surrounded by Muslims who want to annihilate them. Both of these nations are small in size and they're overpowered by all the regional powers around them. Both of these nations have experienced genocide. Right, there's starking difference, like so much similarity between these two. So,
we oftentimes, you know,
that only begs the question, what's that?
We oftentimes describe Israel as being the size of New Jersey. Give us a comparison point, if you can, the size of Armenia compared to some U.S. states or a state or...
Armenia is like the size of L.A., is it? It's not that big, right? It is bigger than Israel, but not that much bigger. So Israel is about 20,000 square kilometers. Armenia is 30,000 square kilometers. So it's not so much bigger.
You're a little bit bigger.
Comparable in size, yeah.
Repeat what you want people. We're going to go to prayer here in a minute. But repeat what you want people to do as it relates to the actual governmental aspect. Share that again for some who may have missed it early on.
So we would ask people to contact their members of Congress and to tell them to join the Armenian caucus because all of these issues are actively discussed there. We do have a support base, but it's not enough and it needs to grow. So that would be the first step you can do. The next step that you can do is to contact your members of Congress and put pressure on them to vote for the Armenian Protection Act. There is a bill introduced in Congress called the Armenian Protection Act that would cut off the funding from the United States to Azerbaijan for military support. And it would support Armenia instead to preserve this precious God's nation. So this is what we need to do politically at the moment.
Do you have much contact? Go ahead, Rosemary, you had a question.
Well, I just am realizing the significance of God establishing national borders. He establishes nations and directs their borders. And the reason that all nations are going to be brought into judgment is over the division of his land. This includes Armenia. I'm always thinking of Israel, but this includes Armenia. The division of the land of Israel and the division of the land of Armenia are so significant in the eyes of God that he is going to judge and punish nations and peoples for that very act of being involved in this type of atrocity.
Absolutely. And you're 100% on point because if the Jewish people renounce who they are, their Jewish identity and faith, and they just, you know, assimilated and became part of the Muslim community, none of this would have happened. They wouldn't have suffered any of the consequences. They wouldn't have all these attacks happening to them and then the genocide being carried out, and their land would be big and prosperous. Same thing with Armenia, just like the country of Georgia. If Armenia was Muslim and Armenia was not a Christian, we would be very big, we'll be very powerful. So the only reason why this is happening is because we want to hold on to our faith. And you know, to us, our faith and our souls and the name of Jesus is even more precious than land and even more precious than our own lives. And we've done that for thousands of years. But it's come a time where our Christian brothers and sisters need to stand up. Just like they need to stand up for Israel, they need to stand up for Armenia, because our stories are very similar.
That's right. You are really like Ruth to Naomi. I mean, you belong together like the two sticks joined as one of Messiah's second coming for the Christian people and for the Jewish people. And I am so grateful that, Emmanuel, that you are sharing this understanding with us now, because we need to pray about this every day. As we pray for Israel, we need to pray for your nation. And it's so precious in the eyes of God. Thank you.
I'm just doing what I hope many of you are doing, Googling Congressional Armenian Caucus. One reports as many as 100 members of Congress, which that's encouraging to see that kind of number. And
it's been growing lately because of all the events, but it's just the time is ticking, because Azerbaijan wants to launch another offensive, right? And if we don't have Russia as a guarantee for, you know, our military support, and the United States is far away, we need like immediate intervention of the United States in this issue. And Armenia wants to come closer to the United States, and Armenia wants to have better relations, political, economic, diplomatic, as well as military. We've been very welcoming of NATO. We don't want to deal with Russia. We see what Russia did in Ukraine. We see what Russia did with Armenia historically. We see what they're doing. We don't want to have anything to do with Russia. So, but we need, there's a vacuum, right? We need to fill this vacuum with another country, which we see as the United States. And we love America. I personally love America. I grew up in the United States. I was educated there. I love the values that America stands for, the real values, the constitutional values, the biblical values, right? So I can only see, why shouldn't the United States and Armenia get closer, just like the United States is close to Israel, and also Armenia get close to Israel? Like, this is the vision that I have.
This is so right, because we were also founded on the gospel. United States of America, Britain is a Christian nation, founded on the gospel. And so is the United States of America. And God is gathering these, his sheep nations, his flock nations. They are so important to him at this time. And people need to invest their efforts, their prayers, their support in what matters to God.
Absolutely.
Talking to Emmanuel in Armenia, it's night for us. It's morning for him. I happen to know, because of his handling the business transactions that he handles, this man has had no sleep for 24 hours.
No worries.
Well, we're concerned for you.
And
so we're going to pray over you right now, pray over your country, and then call the World Prayer Network call. We got to take this seriously, folks. How many of you knew about this already? The answer is probably 1% of us or less, tragically. So we've got to take it. The Armenian Protection Act. And now we're going to the Armenian Prayer Act right now. Rosemary, you pray for Emmanuel, if you would, and I'm going to pray for the country.
Okay. Father, we are so grateful for Emmanuel, and he is your representative, God, with us. And we ask, Father, that you put it upon our hearts every day to pray for Armenia, his beloved country, and Lord, that you would guide and direct him and anoint him as you did the apostles in the early church, with fire, with power, with signs and wonders and miracles. Father, as he prays, I ask that you would just release angelic armies to defend this nation against its enemies and your enemies. You are the God of miracles. You are Jehovah Jireh. Lift up that miracle banner of your presence over this precious nation, which you so love, that it has had your heart from the very beginning, and defend it in the eyes of the world. So fear of God comes upon all who surround and would dare attack her. Father, do defend Armenia from these vicious evil ones. We ask for you to send provision to them, advocacy for them, defense for them, protection for them, and Emmanuel especially, and his entire household. We thank you for this wonderful biblical dynasty, his lineage, that probably goes back to your day and to the early saints and apostles of the kingdom of God, and even probably our patriarchs. So, Lord, honor his ancestry and bring forth great authority and prominence for this cause. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, amen. I think you're convicting me to pray this way. We repent of being so self-absorbed with our petty little details that we don't even know what is going on with our Christian brothers and sisters in many countries, but especially in Armenia right now. We have no awareness. We haven't raised a voice. We haven't contacted a congressman. We haven't prayed. We haven't wept on their behalf. I repent of our inaction, our ignorance, our unawareness, and our lack of discipline to better know what's happening in the body of Christ and to the body of Christ. So, Lord, on behalf of the World Prayer Network, or we come before you asking forgiveness, activate us in a way that is super anointed, so anointed that it will produce results that even we are shocked at. May Amen. We raise a voice on behalf of these, our brothers and sisters, and stop the slaughter that is happening to them. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Emmanuel Karchaturov, you are a blessing.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please read the show notes for additional details if you would like a copy of the book or resources mentioned. Remember that Well-Versed is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit organization. We rely on your support and partnership.
Don't forget to hit subscribe to keep up to date with our latest episodes. Leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe too.
Thank you for listening to the Well-Versed podcast. For more information, please go to www.wellversedworld.org.